Now, three opinion polls over the weekend would indicate that the so-called Burton bounce is no more, with support for Labour falling to a new low. It's now a mixed bag for Sinn Féin. They're up in two of the three polls. The rise and rise of public support continues as well for independents and smaller parties. With me in studio, Fionnán Sheehan, Group Political Editor with Independent News and Media. There's a graph going with your piece this morning, projecting out to the next election or to an election, based on these polls, suggesting that Labour might have no seats at all. Which I suppose is a piece of academic, I suppose, you know, thinking aloud. But that's not really what you'd expect to happen, or is it?
Well, it's possible if you drop down to as low as 5%, and your vote is spread pretty much right across the country, with pretty much, you know, each of your candidates just getting a couple of thousand votes, and that adds up to 5% across the board, then you're in enormous difficulty because nobody actually has enough to be in contention. Now, you'd expect a few guys, maybe the likes of Willie Penrose or Emmett Stagg, to have sufficient voting stock over the years to get them across the line. Any of the class of 2011, you wouldn't expect so because they wouldn't have that level of loyalty. You could have somebody like the tarnished John Burton, who's in an extremely competitive constituency already, getting squeezed out, has lost her seat before. So yeah, I mean, that was based upon the analysis of Adrian Kavanagh from Inuit Minute, who's constantly tracking these issues, and he was basically projecting how many seats would come out. But yeah, enormous difficulties for Labour at the very least. And what was quite clear from the three polls across the weekend, you have to bear in mind, all three have different methodologies, all three have different ways of sampling, all three had different time periods in terms of a gap with the previous poll. But there was quite a great degree of similarity across three polls. You could very clearly see there is an established trend here now at this stage. All three were showing Fine Gael and Sinn Féin vying to be the best supported party, both in the low 20s, so between 21 and 24% for both of those parties. Fianna Fáil in 19% territories is just under that 20% mark for them. Labour, as you say, 5 to 6%, miserable, even worse than they did in the local European elections. And then the independents and smaller parties in the range of 30 to 32, so in the low 30s. And so that trend is there right across the board, which is quite strange. You often get vastly different results emerging from polls that are conducted by different polling companies. But in this case, I think there was a clearly established pattern there at the end of 2014. That's where we're at now.
So in a situation, Fionnán, where the combined totals in these polls, and this isn't the first time, I think, of the traditional big parties or establishment parties, Fine Gael, Labour and Fianna Fáil, amounts to less than 50%. Has the political landscape ever looked more unpredictable than it does right now?
No, and then you even have to look beyond that, I think, to the fact that when you look at the support levels for the independents, you're looking at, you know, 30-odd% there. You'd be looking at 50 seats. So you definitely have an independent elected in every constituency in the country. And of course, independents also include groups like the People for Profit Alliance, the Socialist Party, and other smaller parties that have set up now and don't have any TDs yet, and other groupings that may come about at some point in the new year. So yeah, definitely then you look at every constituency, you go, right, chalk down one seat there for an independent straight away.
And looking at your sister paper yesterday, the Sunday Independent, John Drennan has a piece there. He breaks down the independents essentially into four groups. He has the centre-right, the Reform Alliance. Then he has the Shane Ross gang. They're sort of making up the centre-right. Then there's the Muddle Centre, which he calls the Michael Fitzmaurice Party, perhaps with Matty McGrath and a few others thrown in there. Then there's the Left Alliance, driven by John Halligan. Then there's the Roisin Chortall and Tommy Bruin Party. Then there's the Mick Wallace and Clare Daly Party. Then there's the split socialist with Joe Higgins. He has about nine different groups making up, if you like, three or four supergroups. So make a government or make a coalition partner out of that.
Yeah, and if you look at the various permutations and combinations of coalition options after the next general election, it seems crystal clear at the moment that whoever wants to form a government is going to need to get independent support of some sort. So actually, whatever about individual groupings coming about in the new year, whether the Reform Alliance become a party, whether Shane Ross actually gets a grouping together or Michael Fitzmaurice does a more a rural independent alliance. The fellows who are sitting pretty, I'd have to say, are the independents who are going to be saying, I'm not joining any group, I'm just going to stick to my own guns, I'm going to go into the next election, and I'll cut a deal with whoever will do the best by me.
If the numbers fall a certain way, you're back to the days of Tom Gilday and Jackie Healy, both now gone to their awards.
Yeah, and in those cases, you would be looking at people like Michael Healy-Ray, people like Michael Lowry, people like Noel Grealish, perhaps Tom Fleming, and so on. Now, again, dependent upon who comes back. But, you know, people like that haven't shown a whole lot of signs of wanting to join any other grouping, and maybe they'd be better off holding tough and just saying, well, look, I'm going to stick to my own brand, and that's that.
So they, you think, will keep their powder dry. But in the meantime, again, if things don't improve for the Labour Party in Fine Gael, and bearing in mind, I think that in the Red Sea poll, for instance, in the Sunday Business Post, they're at the lowest they've been in the 10 years that those tracking polls have been conducted. Are people going to start getting quite nervous now into the new year if there's no sign of a pickup?
Yeah, I mean, Joan Burton is finding that this idea of being the tarnished isn't as easy as she thought it would be. I mean, bring back Eamon Gilmore. I mean, he wasn't hitting depths this low. You'd have to say both parties are of the view that 2014 is pretty much a write-off. You could pick any one of the controversies that emerged this year and say, on the back of that, it was a bad year. When you combine them all together between the medical cards, the problems in the justice areas and water charges and other related matters such as the John McNulty affair, you'd say any one of them would have dominated the year. Coming all together and with the local and European election results on top of that, it has been a disastrous year for them. They're looking to 2015. They're saying, right, well, people will begin to see some sort of the fruits of the recovery in terms of some tax changes in the new year. That's not going to win everybody over. And they seem to believe that if they can get the narrative and the debate back onto the economy and who do you trust to maintain whatever level of recovery we have, and that you can't trust other groupings, that will get them back. There is another point, though, that sometimes people just make their mind up about a particular party, and once you're stuck in that rut, it's extremely difficult to get out of it.
That's an observation that the British veteran politician Dennis Healy, I think, made at the end of the 70s, about a year out from election. The electorate locks onto a particular view of things, and it's not really going to change. And if that happens here, it's going to be curtains for an awful lot of people.
There's kind of a view here that people tend to give any government about a year or two. And then once you're getting into year three, people kind of make their mind up and go, don't fancy you again.
On the other hand, though, maybe the proof that that's not necessarily the case, he had money to spend, or at least thought he had, and the people did as well. Bertie Ahern pulling off the third victory in 2007.
Yeah, you can pull, but the difference there was that the primary threat to that coalition, you would have to say, was the issues around Bertie Ahern himself in terms of the economy at large. The coalition was still doing reasonably well at that stage. We know now in retrospect that the pumping up of the economy and the creation of the property bubble and the consequences of that. But once in that general election, you did see people separating out their views on the economy to reserve views on the then Taoiseach, and that turned actually quite quickly then after the event. So, you know, there is that last hope that the economy will ultimately rescue the two parties. They will be able to point to the other opposition parties and say, well, how many of them have actually got a solid economic policy? How many of them will actually be able to form a cohesive government? And that's their final hope of any salvation. It's a big ask to come back from those types of figures to be looking at getting anywhere near government based upon the two current coalition parties in the next election. Even at the moment, if those figures were returned, they could be anything up to 30 to 40 seats shy of being able to form a government. When you consider they came back with such record numbers 3.5 years ago, that's quite a turnabout.
No doubt it's going to be an interesting year. Lots to talk about in 2015. There we leave it with you, Finan, for at least this year on this programme. Finan Sheehan, Group Political Editor with Independent News Media. Thank you very much.
I'll see you on Cashel on St. Stephen's Day for the county semi-final. That's a replay.
Fair enough, it'll be a mirage. Good luck, thanks. Happy Christmas to you.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.